Amen. So what I have to share today is trending to be not long. All right, so look at your watch and see if I'm telling the truth in my statement. It's trending to not be long. All right. And so if it's long, then you know that God is really talking, because what I have prepared, I think, would be encouraging to anybody that wants to finish something they have started. Anybody have some unfinished business? Like, I don't know what it may be, but today I think would be encouraging for, if you're listening, if this is being recorded, if you're listening, this would encourage anybody that's a business owner, that's a parent, that's a grandparent, that's a pastor of a church, that's anybody that wants God to finish what he has started on the inside of us. All right, so let's turn to Philippians 1. I have my paper Bible today. It feels good to have it. I'm paper Bible saved today. So Philippians 1 is where I want you guys to turn to today. Philippians 1, verse number 6. I feel like doing this. Y'all gonna laugh. I feel like just sliding this on over in front of everybody in front of me like this. Miss Sophia, if you want to come and get in front of it. This feels like a good student. Good class full of students.
This is the blessed side.
This is the blessed side. It won't be complete, Miss Sophia. No. Yeah, come on over here. Come on. Yeah. Y'all see what's happening here. You see my little rearranging the room. All right, and so Philippians 1:6 is on the screen. Let's read this together, guys. Ready, set, go. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion. Some translations, one translation says perform it. Everybody say perform it.
Perform it,
perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. So I'm not an artist. I call myself a little artist as it relates to designing with this particular app. And I put together a little visual for you guys, because Philippians 1:6, Philippians was actually written by Paul. And I actually created this. I created this. God bless you. You don't have to clap for me. But to the left is Paul. He's actually in where? He's where? He's in prison, he's in jail, and he is writing this particular letter that I have in my hand. This letter is on its way to who? It's on its way, if you didn't know, it's on its way to a church that he started, which is the church of Philippi. All right? So he is writing this letter that I have in my hand that I'm going to take out here in a second. And this letter, he is happy to write this letter. And he is writing this letter to his church, the church that he started. He is addressing Apostle Paul, he is addressing his followers from jail. And so, like, this letter is like a performance review. Speaking of job, you know, they give us a performance review, and you're looking for basically a summary of how you're doing. We heard it through the testimony this morning. The outcome of maybe perhaps a bogus performance review. Amen? But God has moved you on to big and better things. And it was so glad to hear that this morning. But this letter, guys, is like a performance review. Everybody say performance review. And it was, if I was a part of the Church of Philippi, I would be encouraged by just hearing from my pastor, from my leader that's in jail. Imagine if your parents were in jail and your somebody that you really loved that was in jail. And just to get a letter from somebody that you loved, that would just be encouraging to me. But this letter included some encouraging words. It included some instructions. And it's great to have trusted men of God with pure intentions to check up on us. Doesn't it feel good when somebody calls you and say, I don't want anything. I'm just checking, see how you're doing. How is school? How is church? You know, I know you've experienced some loss. How are you doing? It just feels good to have somebody check up on you. Amen?
Amen.
And so Paul is checking up. He is giving some well wishes in this letter, and he is affirming a church that he started. So he's very confident because we just read in Philippians 1, verse 6, that Paul says, I am confident. Everybody say confident.
Confident.
He is confident in this one thing. So Paul is a leader with confidence. Everybody say confidence. So Paul is actually, so this is the letter. All right. So Paul is basically trusting that the church he started will continue to trust God. So my question is, how can you be locked up and have so much joy and so much confidence? So he's in jail with confidence. In jail with confidence. He is physically bound but mentally free. He can't go anywhere, but he's still happy in Jesus. Amen? Amen. And we heard from the testimony this morning, you can have some crazy things going on in your life, but you can still have peace. Amen? Amen. We know there could be chaos around us in America, the divided states of America. But we still have peace. Amen. Clap your hands if you still have peace in the midst of chaos. So Paul's saying, being confident of this. Everybody say confidence. My Fairfax definition, if you want to write it down, is for confidence. My definition is I know this is going to turn out a certain way. Confidence. Everybody say confidence. So I have five questions that think about this. Just think about this. Muse about this. Because we're talking about confidence, because Paul is saying, I am confident of this. In Philippians 1:6, Paul says this in jail. I'm confident. I have confidence in a group of people that are thousands of miles away. Thousands of miles away, and I'm confident in you. We have people in our own house, and we're like, I can't trust you as far as I can throw you. Amen? People in your own house. Paul is confident in a group of people thousands of miles away. So one, what things are you consciously or subconsciously confident in? Number two, what people are you confident in? What people? If you're not writing it, just who do you have confidence in? Now, the spiritual answer is, I trust in God. I just trust in God. But, you know, I get that. But who do you have confidence in? If you have a cookout and you ask them to bring potato salad, are they going to bring potato salad? Y'all laughing, but the real question is, are they going to bring good potato salad? Yes or no? Everybody can't make potato salad, and all of God's people said. Amen. Number three, who around you has a high say-do ratio? Number four, what systems are you confident in? Number five, what do you lack confidence in and why? You say, nope, I'm not confident in that. I'm not confident. I don't have confidence in the government. I don't have confidence in Tequisha. I don't have confidence in this car. Amen? Amen. Many of us, we've prayed over the years in a car. We've prayed every single day. Please help me get to point A, from point A to point B. We didn't have confidence in the car, but why? Because, you know, I don't know what your issue was. My issue was always gas. Amen. It was not the car. It was the fuel for the car. So write this down or read this with me, all right? Ready, set, read. Someone's lifestyle can give you an indication of how much you can have confidence in them. This is the confidence people assessment. The confidence people assessment. All right. Number one, how's their health initiative? Remember, I just said someone's lifestyle can give you an indication of how much you can have confidence in them. I'm not saying how are they healthy. I'm not saying you can't have confidence in somebody that's not healthy. What I am saying, are they trying to be healthy? You can have confidence in somebody that's always starting a new diet every Monday. Because that's me, and you can trust me. You can trust me. You guys can trust me. Number two, what is their reputation? Philippians 1:6, Paul says, I am confident in this group. But check out, what is their reputation? Someone's lifestyle can give you an indication of how much you can have confidence in them. What's their reputation? I know y'all know what movie this is from. You know what they say about Ike Turner. What movie is that from? Y'all remember that line from that movie? You know what they say about Ike Turner. What? Right. And so you know the reputation. If you have not seen the movie, it's called Tina, I think. What is their reputation? Number three, are they good with managing resources? Someone's lifestyle can give you an indication of how much you can have confidence in them. Paul's saying, I am confident in this group of people. Number four, what is their job status? Hey, are they trying to get a job, especially if you're a grown man? Amen. Are you trying to get a job? Okay, I can have confidence in you that you're going to try to get a job. You're trying to get a job. Amen. Man, nobody's hiring. That's a lie because everybody's hiring, seems like. Amen. You can make some money in 2022, right? Now, it may be Chick-fil-A, it may be XYZ, it may be in the industry, but that can be a thing that leads to a thing. That makes sense? It could be the thing that leads to a thing. Number five, what are they posting on social media? Someone's lifestyle can give you an indication of how much you can have confidence in them. What are they always posting on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter? Can you have confidence in what they are posting? Because what they are thinking is on the post. Last one, the most important one, do they honor God? Paul says, I have confidence. I am confident in this one thing about this group of people. Let's keep going, guys. Should we take advice from an unreliable source? Yes or no? Shout it out. Should we take advice? Should we be confident in somebody that's unreliable? Absolutely not. Look at the trends of the people, places, or things, basically the nouns, you are putting your confidence in. It's okay to have confidence in a chair because we're trusting that this chair would hold us up. Amen. I'm trusting that this mic will amplify my voice. Amen. And when it doesn't have batteries, I am not confident in the mic anymore. Amen. Because it doesn't have what? Categorize everything that you have confidence in. Why do you have confidence in what you have confidence in? And see how it's trending. Everybody say trends. Everybody say trends. Everything and everybody are not good stock. So for those of us that try to get into investing a little bit, you should start young investing, okay? You got Cash App? Well, when you get Cash App, that's a good way to start investing, all right? Anybody have Cash App? You're going to make money first, all right? Get somebody to give you money to put on your Cash App and then invest that. Your mom said, I'm not giving you no money, all right? You can use your Cash App to invest, and you can also use your Cash App to give to this great church. How many know this is good soil? Yeah, this is good ground. Amen. College pantry downstairs, always giving. There's some things that this church give to, people that they give to that you may not even know about. So this church, you can use your Cash App to give to the church. Amen? All right, giving it shall be given to you. This is not a giving message. But this is everything and everybody's not good stock. Because when we invest, we try to, there's a trend. Everybody say trends. Y'all wanna know how to make some money. So you look at the stock and see how it's trending. All right, sometimes the stock is worth this and then it can trend down. It's not worth $50 a share anymore. And sometimes it's worth $1 a share. And so it's trending up or down, the stock. This is a stock, it's trending what? Down. Shout it out with me. Down. So y'all don't go to sleep. So now it's trending what? So sometimes when it's here, that it's said to, you should buy the dip. Everybody say, buy the dip. So you buy the dip when it's a dollar because if you do your research, everybody say research. Research. Everybody say research. If it's trending, if you've done your due diligence, you say, I should buy the dip because when it trends back up, that $1 is eventually going to be what? I don't know, maybe $50. And I'm thank you, Jesus. I'm ba 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 ba. See, Thank you, God. That's what I'm doing. All right. I am buying the dip because of the trends. Everything and everybody are not good stock. All right. Philippians. Let's keep reading. All right. Philippians 1, because we have not. We're still in verse 6, but I want to bring your attention to Philippians 1, verse number 3. All right. Y'all all right? Paul is in jail writing to his church, the church that he started, and he is feeling good, but he's in jail feeling good. I'm like, what kind of jail are you in, Paul? This must be a five-star jail. That jail must have a spa, swimming pool. I know most jails have gyms, prisons have gyms, but not the gym that we like. Philippians 1, verse 3 says, this is Paul talking. Y'all, can you guys read this with me so you can feel what Paul is feeling? This is coming from Paul. All right? If you can see this, ready, set, go. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Joy in jail. Verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So Paul is in jail and he is feeling good. He says, when I think of you, I feel like singing that song. What's that song? Well, I'm not going to do it. Paul says, when I think of you, I thank God. I thank God when I think of you. Paul is saying, I give God praise when you're not in my presence and I think of you. Amen. That's what every wife, every husband should say when they're not in the presence of their spouse. Amen. Yeah. And if we're looking for a spouse, you want your spouse to say that. When I think of you, I thank God. That's my testimony. What's up? When I think of you, I thank God. Amen. Amen. So that's what Paul is saying. Got some questions for you guys or some suggestions. If the thought of someone else, number one, makes you angry, number two, causes you stress, is there anybody on your list that you can think of when you think of them that makes you angry? Just raise your hand. I don't know who they are because I don't read minds. They make you stress. Anybody make you stress when you think? Thank you for your honesty. I don't know who they are. You keeping your hands there, you say, I know you're going to know. I don't know. Number three, makes you feel less than. If somebody, when you think of them, you feel less than. Number four, they cause you to slip or cause you to stumble. Young person, some people, when we think of them, we like, man, I can get in some trouble with them. They are daring. If they cause you to do any one of these things on the list, number one, redo the terms or renegotiate the terms of the relationship. Number two, learn when to stop worrying about them. You're losing sleep over somebody that don't want to change. And all of God's people said, amen. Learn when to give them over totally to God. Paul says, I thank God when I think of you. Paul is not stressed when he think about his church. What type of memory does your presence leave with someone? Or what do you hope when you leave my presence, what do you hope that I'm thinking about you? Good voice, sweet person, smart man. Wish he was my granddaddy back there. Wish that was my sister. God is a blessing. I need her in my family because God's blessing me next. Solid family. Good to see you. Be good to know you. Get to know you. So in other words, when you leave my presence, what are you hoping hoping the thoughts that I think towards you? How do you feel after this person leaves your presence? When I leave your presence, let's put it back on me. You say, you just called out the room. When I leave, your presence? How do you feel after I leave your presence? Number one, does that person leave a bad taste in your mouth, or do you thank God when you think about them? Do you thank God when you think about them? Do you think? If not, if when you see somebody coming or you're about to be in somebody's presence, you don't thank God, renegotiate something. Amen? Amen. I feel like I'm in the house. Just look that way if I'm in the house. Then I know I'm just kidding, guys. Maya Angelou, smart lady, brilliant lady, beautiful lady. She says, at the end of the day, I'm not gonna try to sound like her. At the end of the day, that ain't working. At the end of the day, people won't remember what you said or did. They will remember how you made them feel. Amen. I don't know what he said, but she made me feel great. It was just something about her presence. But what did she say? I don't know. Maya Angelou says they will always remember how you made them feel. Philippians 1, I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I am happy when you're in my thoughts. I pray for you, Church of Philippi. And I'm happy in my prayers. Some grandparents that are listening or on a playback, parents, you know what I'm talking about. When you pray for your kids, you're not always happy about the prayer that you're praying. You're saying, Lord, help them not to make another dumb decision. Am I right about it? You're saying, I hope my grandkids don't have this happen to them. I hope X, Y, Z. You're praying, and it's not like a happy prayer. Have anybody prayed a prayer like that? You're like, got in trouble again? Lord, kill him. No, I'm just kidding. I hope y'all ain't praying that. Verse 3, 4, and 5. So we know the featured verse is Philippians 1 and 6. It says, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. But verse 3, 4, and 5 is basically gives us context on what we see in verse 6. All right? All right? Y'all still with me? But verse 6 is basically like God's got my back. He is going to basically supply all of my needs. He is going to finance. He is going to back my decision. He is going to, whatever I want to do, God's got me. Whatever I start, the business I start, the marriage I start, listen, guys, do you not know God does not back every decision? He allows it, but he's not cool with it. He does not approve of it. The big question is, am I doing a good work? Is this church doing a good work? You wanted to do a good work on your job, and God had to end one thing so you can be in his will. You said, I wanted to feel like I am living on purpose. And that's what God will supply. The Bible says in another Philippians chapter and verse, Philippians 4:19, but God will supply all your need. Everybody say need. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I hope I'm pronouncing this right. But everybody say need. It comes from a word that means business. Everybody say business. Everybody say kingdom business. God will supply all of your what? Kingdom business. It comes from a word that means task. It comes from a word that means what you need for the journey. God will supply all of your what? Your needs. Your need, your business, if you have kingdom business, resources is coming. Amen? Is it aligning up with his business, with kingdom business? So God is blessing. He's blessing you in an area because it's lining up, perhaps it's lining up with kingdom business. Repeat after me, bogus journey, A bogus journey equals no distribution. What do I mean by that? No riches in glory. God ain't trying to back. Why would God put money in a, why would we put money in a drink machine that's out of order? Why would you put money in a drink machine that's out of, that's not working? Would you put money in a vending machine that's out of order? Raise your hand. Is your journey worth the investment? God will supply all of your need. Are you good for God's business? Number two, does your to-do list get God's attention? Number three, do your footsteps trigger God's distribution of resources? All right? Or where you stepping, is that triggering God's bank of resources, his provision? Like if you step here, it's like ting, 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 slot machine, lottery, ting, ting, ting. If you step here, it's like ting, 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 because you're stepping in kingdom business. Everybody stand up real quick and do this with me. And just take a step. The symbolic of you are wanting to be in God's will. We want this church to make the right moves and ching, 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 ching. You want to pick the right spouse and it's like ching, 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 ching. I did. Amen. You want to pick the right college one day and it's like, all right. Ching, 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 ching. So everybody just make two or three steps. Come on, make a step. We don't hear anything here. God will supply all of your need. You know that you are in the sweet spot when you hear ching, 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 ching. Yeah. Amen? Amen? God ain't trying to give to what he doesn't approve. Amen? Amen? This church, when we start making even more, y'all may be seated. Thank y'all for doing that for me. Class, Sunday school class. As this church continue to make more moves, the leadership, and we make the right moves, ching, 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 it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I like that confidence. It's going to happen. Amen? It is going to happen. I thought somebody was going to clap. I'm going to end with this today. I told you it won't be long. Being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What makes God good at performing? He that has begun a good work in you, us, will perform it. God will complete it. All right? There's a work on the inside of us that God will help us complete. He will perform it. Amen? Amen? What makes God good at performing? As musicians, have we not heard that when we get on the piano and when we sing, we're not performing. Like it's like we've heard it over the years. We don't get up here to perform. We get the mic. I'm not coming to perform. Yes, you are. If God can perform, we can perform. Perform simply means to complete. Amen. That's the problem. We are not performing. We're not completing the assignment. Amen. Hope that makes sense, and I qualified that. So what makes God good at performing and makes God good and perfect at performing is number one, write this down. Write this down and then I'll be finished. Number one, he's consistent. He is consistent. I'll read the scripture. Well, let me give you all of them and then I'll read the scriptures connected to each one of these. This is what makes God good and perfect at performing. And I'm trying to use the best words I can because God is great at performing. Amen. Nobody can do it like God. Amen. Nobody can hook it up. God can take away and give. And you like, that is incredible. Amen. He's consistent. Number two, he is organized. He is a God of order. If you're writing this down, he's a God of details. That helps you perform, guys. That helps you complete your kingdom assignments. It helps you with your business. Number three, he is intentional. He is intentional, waking up every day with a to-do list. Number four, no to-do list, no performance. He is persistent. Won't take no for an answer. Amen? We know people like that. Number six, he starts and he finishes. He starts and he finishes. Number one was he's consistent. 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says, read this with me, guys. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Ching, 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 ching. Knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He's consistent. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it. Everybody say perform. Perform. Performance takes consistency. Matthew 5:37 says, say this with me. Ready, go. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Matthew, what great advice. He says, let your yea be yea and your nay be what? Anything other than that, when you're vague, he is associating vagueness with what? Evil. You're either black or you're what? You're either male or you're either what? You're either a donkey or a cow. You're either a frog or a duck. Amen? You're either a chair or not a chair. This is a season of vagueness, which is associated with evil. Because why does the enemy want us to be vague? Even God says, the Bible says, he wished that we were hot or what? And if we come off as lukewarm, it makes him sick. He said he will spew you out of his mouth. Of course, we know that's symbolic symbolism. In other words, I ain't with this wishy-washiness. Amen? It ain't definitely probably. Is it probably definitely or definitely probably? Evil! I done stumped four times. I done stopped it before I hurt something. God is organized, ordered, and detailed. That's why God is good at performing. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it, will complete it, because he is organized. I won't read all of this, but look at how organized God is. Look at how God is performing in Genesis 1. In the beginning, I almost have this committed to memory. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was not ordered. It was chaotic, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God did what? It organized it all. It moved upon the face of the waters. Look at all the details. He created the birds. He created the stars, the moon. Everybody say order. God is performing. He's like, boom, psh, 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 psh. But he's doing all of this with his words. Amen? He's organized. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it. Get organized. Everybody say, get organized. Get organized. Perhaps when you get organized, guys, it's going to work. In that marriage, business, family, when you do some spring cleaning, maybe you'll find $100 in that. I don't know. But when you do some spring cleaning, when you clean that car, ouch. When you clean the car, diligent. I'm almost finished. Solomon is telling us, giving us some good advice. Proverbs 13:4 was probably written by Solomon. He says, read this with me. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. So perhaps lost is connected to that love seat. Or struggling is connected to that love seat, according to Solomon. What do I mean by that? Get off your do nothing and do something. Paul is suggesting, and I think we should listen to Solomon is suggesting this, and I think we should listen to him. And not in all cases, guys, because I want to make sure we're clear. Not in all cases. When you see somebody poor, that doesn't mean that they are lazy, that they are a sluggard. Not in all cases. Amen. And when we see somebody that's rich, it doesn't mean that they are a workaholic. Amen? Right. That's why I'm saying this is a suggestion from who? From Solomon. Because we know there's different variables. But we do know if you're lazy, what's probably going to happen? Yep, that couch is going to have a dent in it. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to say that. Persistent. God is persistent. God is persistent. James 1:4. This is a great scripture here. Can you guys say this with me? But you must let endurance have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Bottom line today. And if you can stand, that will signify that. Alpheus, we're done. All right. Have you guys have enjoyed this teaching today?
Yes.
Have you learned something? Are you encouraged? I want to leave you with some closing statements, one scripture and some closing statements. I am motivated by this scripture, by this teaching, a lot of ways, because there's hope. There's hope because even though the body of Christ, we're under attack, there's a lot of us that still believes that God is sovereign and that many of us, we're trying to do the right thing. Amen. And so it's like I'm taking this personal that Paul is saying, you know, I'm proud of you. He that has begun a good work in you will perform it, because we are about God's business in this room. Amen. Like we don't want the world to go to hell. Amen. That's us right in this room. Raise your hand. We do not want anybody to be lost. So God is obviously going to look out for us. Like our heart is pure. But the bottom line today, guys, we need to turn it up a little bit, I think, in this room. This pandemic has us like really like in chill mode in the body of Christ. And we often say the pandemic is good. It was good because we needed to rest. Amen. Are y'all hearing that? Like the pandemic was, we're supposed to rest. But we're supposed to rest. Amen. But we do not supposed to stop doing kingdom business. Amen. We got to figure out a way to evangelize. I know y'all watching the news and it's trying to make everybody scared again. They got to up the ante on be scared so you can just go into hibernation. Don't talk to nobody. We can't do ministry because we don't know what they got. Amen. We still have kingdom business to do. How are we going to go to the family reunion packed and think we can't evangelize? We can't go out into the street. You don't know where your family member's been. Amen. Stop with all these excuses. Not y'all, whoever's listening to the playback. Stop it. Procrastination is the enemy of progress. And it's interesting that both start with a P. Procrastination, progress. Procrastination. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Alpheus will procrastinate. And you're laughing because I'm thinking I'm not by myself. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. We know what we need to do in this room in our personal lives. It may be paying that car insurance. The money's right there. Why you haven't paid it? I'm talking to them. It may be going to a family member and asking for making it right with a family member. Amen. If you're listening, it could be getting right with Christ. It could be giving your heart over to Christ. Stop procrastinating. Amen. This statement by a gentleman here, I haven't researched these guys, so if you research them and they're not Christians or they're not believers, we know that a broke clock can be right at least a few times a day, depending on the time zone. Amen? Y'all got that? So they have said some great things, some great statements. One, a day can really slip by when you're deliberately avoiding what you're supposed to do. Number two, if you choose not to deal with an issue, then you give up your right of control over the issue and it will select the path of least resistance. Ain't that powerful? These are not scriptures, but these are wise statements. Someday is not a day of the week. When you're going to do it? Someday. That's not Sunday. It sounds like Sunday, but someday is not a day of the week. Only put off tomorrow what you are willing to die left undone. Everybody in this room, we still have something left for God. We still have kingdom business. I don't care what age you are. Only put off tomorrow what you are willing to die having left undone. If you're okay being in the grave looking at life saying, man, I wish I would have done that. Do it now. Kingdom business, we got to do it now. When, what other time do we have to do it? We're only alive when? Right now. This is the only time we have to do it, to reach the loss, to make it right with our family members, to pick up the phone and call whoever, amen, to start a business, to travel, to dream. Everybody say dream again. Yes, we have lost, but there's still so much for us to do. If it weren't for the last minute, nothing would get done. talking to me. Many of us are good at the last minute. If you're like me, you're great at last minute pulling things together. Last minute macaronis are the best. Last minute potato salad are the best. Last minute weddings, no, I'm just kidding. God has promised forgiveness to your repentance. But he has not promised tomorrow to your procrastination. In all seriousness, guys, we got some work to do. We got some work to do. Sophia, we've enjoyed hearing that testimony. And we want to hear more testimonies like that in this room. Amen. God will help you fulfill your purpose and complete it. He will help you get an MBA. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. The church of Philippi gave God a lot to work with. What are you giving God to work with? Clap your hands for this teaching today. Let's just think about everything that was said. A lot said in a little time. A lot said. Just close your eyes and ponder and meditate. He that has begun a good work in us will perform it. What work? What work are we doing? What work are we going to do? You guys know what you got to do? You know what you're going to do? God, help us to complete what you've started on the inside of us. God, you are supernatural. We are natural. We need your infinite. We need your infinite on our finite. We need your help. We need your assistance. Lord, we are weak, but we know where we are weak, you are strong. We thank you for your assistance. God, many of us, we're getting weary. We're just trying the best we can. We want to do great things for you, this church. We want to do great things for you. We are humbling ourselves and saying, we ain't got it. We don't have the strength. We don't have the bandwidth. We're just trying to just survive from day to day. But God, we thank you that you're going to get us past this season and into another season where we will thrive doing kingdom business. We thank you for giving us a boost this morning, giving us a boost this morning, a reminder in our marriages, in this church, in our businesses, in our families, personally giving us a reminder that we are on this earth to get it done for you. We are on this earth to get it done for you. We are on this earth to get it done for you. Get all the glory and the honor. You have spoken this morning. We thank you for your healing. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for provision. We thank you for a peace of mind. We thank you for making crooked places straight. We thank you for fixing it. In Jesus' powerful name, we do pray. God has spoken, let the church say amen. Guys, you are dismissed.